Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, January 14th, 2019. Police investigate the cause of a fire that destroyed a market in Yei River State.
We have put our own personnel to investigate thoroughly whether it has been suspects that make, burned at the shops or maybe it's a fire. And in fact, if it is somebody who make that act, we will find it out.
And the new bishop of Torit Diocese says the church and the government must work together to achieve lasting peace in South Sudan.
As I have arrived in peace, we hope to establish peace in this diocese and in this state and other neighboring states. It is up to us to implement this peace.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A fire burned down stalls in Yei Town Sobe Market in Yei River State on Sunday. Traders say they've lost goods worth millions of South Sudanese pounds. Yei River State Police Commissioner Major General Yosa Lujang Kamba says a team of police detectives are investigating the cause of the fire. Daniel Friday Martin has the story for VOA from Yei Town.
Rather than the usual commotion of traders bargaining with potential buyers, today the traders were quietly collecting and removing the burnt and recognizable material from their shops, all of which were made of iron sheets. Sobe Market trader Charles Kenyi Baraka deals in mixed goods. Baraka says the fire started from the extreme end and spread until it engulfed every single shop in the market, including his. Speaking in Arabic, Baraka says he lost goods worth more than a million South Sudanese pounds when the fire broke out early Sunday morning.
All my valuable items that got burnt included solar panels, video screens, satellite dishes, and many other electronic items that got burnt. I roughly estimate that value of goods lost at 1.2 million South Sudanese pounds. My message to the government is to protect us and conduct 24-hour security patrol within our business center. As traders, despite paying some taxes to our state government, we continue to face problems such as this fire.
Speaking in Arabic, another trader who prefers to be an advice only as Stephen describes what happened.
The incident happened at around 4 a.m. I was asleep inside my shop when I realized that my shop was burning. When it became too hot, most of my goods that got burned, I rescued few of them. My electronic items, including computers, smartphones, batteries, and the rest, all got burned. The items I have named could be worth 1.5 million South Sudanese. That is aside from the other goods that have not been named.
Edward Lugalar is the chairperson of the Yei River County Chamber of Commerce. Speaking in Arabic, Lugalar says at least 50 shops were burned to the ground.
I am not happy because these were local traders who are helping the people in Yei Town. Some of the traders I interviewed lost goods 150,000 to 200,000 South Sudanese pounds. I want the government to seriously investigate and find out the cause of the fire outbreak. And if there are people behind this, they must be arrested.
Emmanuel Wani is the acting director for Civil Defense Service in Yei Town. He says his team tried in vain to stop the fire.
Due to problem of the network, that is why we did not get immediately after the incident. The problem is now we are lacking most of the fire extinguishers, and in which we as a government we are looking forward to have in the state.
One advises residents in Yei Town to be vigilant and to prevent fire outbreaks within commercial or residential areas. Major General Yosa Lujang Kamba, the Yei River State Police Commissioner, says a team of investigators have been deployed to determine the cause of the incident. Kamba says the police are committed to protecting the lives and property of all civilians in the area and are investigating who may have set the fire.
The report which has actually reached to my office is actually unknown, but we have put our own personnel, the criminal investigation personnel, to investigate thoroughly whether it has been suspects that burned up the shops or maybe it's a fire. That is our own task, to protect lives and property of the people. And in fact, if it is somebody who make that act, we will find it out.
This is the first time since 2016 that a fire has destroyed market stalls in Ye Town. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Ye Town.
A newly appointed bishop of Torit Diocese says the South Sudanese people must speak with one another in order to repair hearts broken by the conflict. Bishop Stephen Ameyu says the government and the church must work together to deliver much-needed services to the people now that peace has been restored. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Thousands of Catholic faithful sing songs, dance, and ululate as they welcome Bishop Stephen Ameyu at Torit Airstrip today. The bishop was appointed by Pope Francis earlier this month to succeed the late Bishop Johnson Akio Mutek, who died in 2013. Torit resident Miriam Eddie William is among the Catholic faithful who turned out to receive the new bishop today.
We have been waiting for this for so long. You know, a house without a father is like a building without a pillar. It will automatically fall. And I think we were almost falling in this state. So by the coming of this bishop, he came with some strength, and I'm seeing the strength that people are coming again together. They are united and they are so happy together.
William says the new bishop should open up to the parishioners and try to fix the problems in the church, such as uniting all the clergy in the diocese, some of whom have been dismissed from the church or have deserted the church and got married. Torit resident Grace Lazarus, another Catholic faithful, says in order for the bishop to do his work, the faithful must support him.
As a Christian, I make sure I do my charitable work with my bishop and all that voluntary work. We make sure that with this voluntary work and charitable work, we can bring all the Christians in one place. My message to the fellow Christians that they all have to come and join the bishop, make bishop to feel at home.
He's speaking to the Jubilant Catholic clergy today in Torit. Bishop Stephen Ameyu said he believes the government and the church have a lot of work ahead of them if lasting peace is to be restored in South Sudan, including a safe environment in which all parties can operate in without fear.
As I have arrived in peace, we hope to establish peace in this diocese and in this state and other neighboring states. Christ has brought to us peace. It is up to us to implement this peace. We are talking about revitalization of peace, but this peace cannot be revitalized unless we begin within ourselves, transform ourselves, ask God to change us, to make us a radical change. Only by a radical change can we establish peace. So we will work for peace together with you.
The Catholic Church in South Sudan has been praised for promoting peace and providing services including healthcare and education across the country. Ameyu says he will build on that, but says both the government and the church must focus more on delivering services to the people now that the peace has come.
It is not easy to be a shepherd. It is only through the help of God that I can help you. You can see me. I am a single person, but a multitude of you. If we work together, we will always realize peace, we will realize everything, development. I call also on our government always to cooperate with us. Let us open our doors. Anyone who comes and perform must release fear out.
The bishop-elect will be installed as a bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Torit on March 3rd. Three other Catholic dioceses, Wau, Rumbek, and Malakal, have no bishops. The audio used in this story was recorded by James Kabaka Quintos, a local journalist in Torit. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
As anti-government protests continue in Sudan, some South Sudanese living in the capital Khartoum worry about what will happen next. They say they would like to go back to South Sudan, but cannot afford to return home. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Some South Sudanese here say the anti-government protests that have continued for more than 3 weeks across Sudan have increased the cost of living. South Sudanese Elizabeth Joseph Uyu, a mother of three, who lives in Khartoum's Abu Adam neighborhood, says since the start of the protest on December 19th, she has found it increasingly difficult to provide for her family.
The situation in Sudan has become very difficult for us. Things like food commodities in the market every day is going high, and even I'm now worried about my kids, my family, like for their school. They have been at home like 1 month now.
2 weeks ago, the South Sudan Embassy in Khartoum announced that at least 4 South Sudanese were killed during the ongoing protests in the capital, Khartoum. The embassy said none of the 4 were participating in the protest. Embassy officials have urged South Sudanese not to take part in the protest and to avoid any crowds associated with the protest. Uyu says if conditions continue to worsen, she would like to move her family back to South Sudan, but is not sure about the conditions there either.
If this situation is still going in this way, I will try to go back to South Sudan. But I'm not sure even there, if in South Sudan, if the peace is now implemented, it will be good. If not, I don't know what to do.
Amal Bashir Kamanda, a mother of 9, lives in Dar es Salaam in Khartoum's Jebel Aulia neighborhood. Speaking in Arabic, Kamanda says she is worried about the future of her kids because young people in the area are being targeted as Sudanese security operatives crack down on the protesters with tear gas. Speaking in Arabic, Kamanda says some of the youth in her neighborhood have been arrested. She says Sudanese security operatives accuse the youth of taking part in the protest. But she says they don't have any link to the ongoing protest. She adds that she does not think it is safe for children here. She says South Sudanese do not know how they will continue to survive in Sudan. Daniel Uchala, another South Sudanese national living in the Takamul refugee camp in Khartoum's Hajusif neighborhood. Uchala agrees that the situation in Sudan is getting worse as anti-government sentiment grows across the country. Speaking in Arabic, Uchala urges South Sudanese leaders back home to quickly implement the peace agreement so that South Sudanese living outside the country can return home to rebuild their lives in their own country. Speaking in Arabic, Uchala says the only hope he has is if the peace agreement is implemented and stability returns to South Sudan. He adds that South Sudanese living in Sudan are ready to return home and reunite with loved ones, saying it is better to go back and cut trees and make charcoal or anything else rather than staying in Khartoum. Thousands of anti-government protests continue to be held on the street of Khartoum and other cities and towns across the country against the high living cost. Protesters are also demanding that President Omar al-Bashir step down. President Bashir told thousands of supporters in Niala town in South Darfur state today that the ongoing demonstration will not change the government in Khartoum. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum, Sudan.
Meanwhile, hundreds of Zimbabweans took to the streets of Harare Monday, protesting an increase in the price of fuel. As Columbus Mavhunga reports for VOA, many Zimbabweans are growing tired of chronic economic hardship.
The protesters said they wanted to force the government to address Zimbabwe's moribund economy. Simbai Rice, one of the demonstrators, said the administration has failed to address increasing shortages of cash and basic food items. He said President Emmerson Mnangagwa had promised to rescue the situation when he took over from Robert Mugabe in November 2017. The economy is all for rails. I wish the leaders should address the economy, especially fuel prices and the price of basic commodities. They should just come down, said Rice. People are not happy. My bus fare is now $5 from a dollar. I'm now going home on foot. If there's a way, he must return today and solve this. President Mnangagwa left Zimbabwe Monday to visit Russia, Kazakhstan, Belarus, and Azerbaijan. He is expected to return home after attending the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The forum takes place from January 22 through January 25. On Monday, the army and police deployed in Harare after protesters started blocking roads. Other protests took place in the country's second largest city, Bulawayo. Police in both places fired tear gas to disperse demonstrators. The government says it is aware that prices have been escalating and forcing many people to slide into poverty. Energy Mutodi, Zimbabwe's junior minister of information, said the government is doing all it can.
We are equally worried, just like any other citizen. So there's no way, there's nothing which government can do to stop fuel price increases. In actual fact, we've been the country selling fuel at the lowest prices in the region. So what we are trying to do as government is that the fuel prices have been adjusted upwards. We intend to ensure that the fuel supply situation is normalized.
He also said the government cannot increase salaries for public workers like doctors and school teachers. Over the past weeks, some government workers have said they want to be paid in US dollars or have their salaries match price increases. They are saying the depreciating local currency, called bond notes, is leaving them without disposable income. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, fallout from presidential elections in the DRC continues as the opposition candidate calls for a recount. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your definition of the life well lived?
When you accomplish your set goals. Like, for example, when you say, I must finish university, even if you don't work, as long as you're finished, there is no problem. Even if I die today after finishing.
When someone is living a godly way, focused on achieving his or her own goals, and trying to be morally upright.
Though it's not everybody that actually have a dream, but there are some this set of people that have a dream, and then working towards to achieve that dream.
A life well lived is one where one is able to fulfill his dreams, his aspirations, his goals, all that he wants before he dies.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Grumbling over the outcome of the DRC's presidential election is spreading, with two regional organizations adding their voices to calls for a recount of the December 30th vote. Opposition candidate Martin Fayulu has appealed the results, claiming he's been cheated out of an overwhelming victory. The official count placed him second. Government officials have stood by the victory of opposition leader Felix Tshisekedi. He and President Joseph Kabila have denied allegations that they cut a deal that would allow Kabila to continue to play a large role in the government. France, Belgium, the United States, and Britain have expressed concerns over the validity of the election results. The International Conference of the Great Lakes Region and the Southern African Development Community have followed suit. The lack of confidence in the results has raised concerns over a return to the violence that has racked the country since it gained independence in 1960. A Kenyan court says three men must stand trial for their alleged role in the 2013 terrorist attack on Nairobi's Westgate Mall. The suspects are accused of aiding the Somalia-based militant group Al-Shabaab. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The suspects were in the Nairobi courtroom Monday as Chief Magistrate Francis Andayi read the ruling.
The four accused persons here are charged with a total of 12 counts, some jointly and others separately. They are jointly charged in counts 1 and 2 with commission of a terrorist act and conspiracy to commit a terrorist act, respectively, contrary to the Prevention of Terrorism Act.
The suspects, Liban Abdullahi Hussein Mustafa and Ahmed Abdi, are also charged with giving support to a terrorist group, aiding a terrorist group, and being in the country illegally. A fourth suspect was set free. Gunmen opened fire on shoppers in the busy Westgate Mall on a Saturday in September 2013, killing at least 67 people and injuring more than 150 others. The gunmen are believed to have died when the Kenyan army retook the mall. Abdullahi, Mustafa and Abdi were arrested in the weeks following the attack. 31-year-old John Wangombe survived the attack. He welcomed the news that finally someone is going to be put on trial.
I feel good. I'm very joyful because of the way the court has ruled. We expect justice for us, for what we went through, the whole scenario. And I give thanks to the court. Sometimes they take time to check on cases, but this one was definitely a good part for me. Definitely we expect justice. The court has reformed these days, and we expect those suspects to go to jail.
Prosecutors spent more than 5 years gathering evidence against the men, in part because more than 145 witnesses offered testimony. Only two suspects brought before Kenyan court on terrorism-related charges have been convicted, and many Kenyans fear this case may also fall apart. But lawyer Danstan Omari says it will be difficult for the suspects to walk free.
The state has proved a watertight case. It is a story that the court is going to listen. Rarely do people who reach that stage get acquitted. Most of them, they end up being convicted.
The three defendants will appear in court again next week as the defense begins to present its case. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Landlocked Chad and the Central African Republic have dispatched senior customs officials to Cameroon to look into allegations of corruption in the Atlantic coast of Port of Douala. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Douala, Cameroon.
Heavy equipment is excavating and relocating huge quantities of abandoned material at the Douala seaport. Some of the containers with vehicles and other goods destined for Cameroon, Chad and CAR were abandoned by importers who complained that high levels of corruption, red tape and overpriced services are chasing them from one of Africa's largest harbors. Moise Vokeng of the Professional Transporters Network at the Douala Seaport says importers and exporters are looking for alternatives.
When you arrive at the port and at any checkpoint, from gendarme to police to custom, you have to pay money. You have to pay in your money. You don't know why you pay, but you must pay before you pass. Whether you enter empty trucks or you are looted, you have to pay. But when we loot, we take too much time to wait for the tracking equipment from the custom to be certain. And when it is certain, we have 6 hours to leave the seaport to Yasa, which is the first checkpoint. When you arrive at the checkpoint, after 6 hours, you have penalties to pay.
Vokeng says clearing procedures are long and cumbersome due to degraded infrastructure and lack of investment. He says to take a car out, an importer needs no fewer than 25 stamps before paying $2,000 to customs officials for a 5 to 10 year old car. He says to remove a car from the port at times takes 2 to 3 weeks. Yaya Abdallah, a Chadian driver, finally leaves the port. He says corruption is not only a problem inside the port, it stalks drivers on the road as well. He says Chadian and CAR drivers say Cameroon's military and police harass them and drivers pay huge sums of money, which makes their businesses highly unprofitable.
Toujours il y a les gendarmes et il y a les police.
He says they spend more than $300 to bribe gendarmes and police between Douala and N'Djamena, and no one seems to listen to them when they complain. But Ngube Philomene, a senior official of Cameroon military,
controlling traffic between Cameroon and Chad and Cameroon and CAR, says because of insecurity, they have to control the trucks. She denies they collect bribes from drivers.
Vraiment, nous avons mis l'accent ici sur il faut une fouille systématique.
We are systematically controlling all vehicles to CAR and Chad because of insecurity and the crisis in CAR. We have to do it for their own security and safety, Ngube says. Douala is the nearest ocean gateway for Chad and CAR, but importers and exporters say they are fed up and want to relocate to Cotonou in Benin. Onanando, Secretary General of the Community of Workers at Douala's Port Authority, argues that Cotonou will be more expensive. He says it will be better for the landlocked countries to meet Cameroonian authorities and negotiate improvements.
The shippers of Central Africa and Chad cannot leave the port of Douala. The shortest way for them to go to the sea. I can tell you that the commander of gendarmerie in the port has already taken steps to punish all caught in creating complications to shippers.
This week, Chad's Director of Customs, Colonel Usman Adam Dicky, visited Cameroon. He says he first of all wants goods that have been piling up there to be cleared before negotiations on what his country will do next.
Il est temps de l'aménager et de faire une stock de marchandises.
He says his country, Chad, has sent him to take stock of all merchandise and containers destined for Chad to control and to organize their transit within the shortest possible time. More than 2,000 containers have been stocked in Douala for the past 2 months. For the past 30 years, there has been no major investment to expand the port. Moki Edwin Kinzeka. For VOA News, Douala, Cameroon.
Ayanto Mohamba. Binere Jemi, Namana Sato Bada Waka Waka Besado. Nia Manga, Malaika. Excuse me, lady, what's your name?
It's a joy, it's in Takimono.
And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Ayanta Muhaba by Sultan Clinton. We've been listening to Sultan Clinton with the song Ayan Tamahuba. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kanitama bisede mwana asalu
ikoga
Mbebe spenyu liyana one time motema Nenyu periho karo kikeda nyaka
Alleluia.
I beg me papa me mama waiting to see you my lover
Merci.
And you can show me your face only one time motema Anamade ruzuli tani ili ntaya waifigili miye Amenu ruzuli tani Anamade ruzuli tani Anamade ruzuli